From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First headlines. President Joko Widodo asks people to keep tolerance in Ramadan. Vice President Yusuf Kalla to attend extraordinary summit of OIC in Istanbul. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. President Joko Widodo asks people to perform worship with peaceful and clean heart during Ramadan. He also urged the people to respect each other in accordance with the lesson from Prophet Muhammad. He also asked people to maintain tolerance and promote harmony. He added that the people must maintain fraternity, Islamic brotherhood, and national brotherhood. He also wished happy fasting month of Ramadan, 1439 Hijriah, to all Muslims through official release on Thursday. Vice President Yusuf Kalla was heading to Turkey on Thursday evening to attend the extraordinary summit of Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC. The summit is held to address recent developments in Palestine following the removal of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on May 14. The removal of the embassy resulted in clash on the border of Gaza and Israel. This clash led to the deaths of civilians. Before the summit to be held, a series of meetings are held at senior officials meeting level and foreign minister level. According to the plan, Vice President Yusuf Kalla and entourage will arrive back in the country on Sunday. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno asks state companies to keep expanding synergy in a bid to improve efficiency and optimize the use of state funds invested in state-owned enterprises. She said in Jakarta on Thursday that cooperation among state-owned enterprises is a concrete manifestation of synergy and brotherhood in the spirit of one nation, one vision, one family for excellence. Minister Rini was witnessing the signing of cooperation between four state companies, PT Hutama Karya and PT Semen Indonesia, PT Semen Batu Raja, and PT Hotel Indonesia Natur. Cooperation with construction company Hutama Karya and cement producers Semen Indonesia and Semen Batu Raja is aimed at supplying cement and strengthening synergy in project management. Chief Executive of Hutama Karya Bintang Perbowo said his company forms synergy with Semen Indonesia and Semen Batu Raja in cement supply to support the work of Hutama Karya. Indonesian Ambassador to China Jauhari Oratbangun invites hundreds of China's local business people to expand their business to Indonesia. In a meeting with Chinese entrepreneurs facilitated in Beijing on Thursday, he explained that Indonesia's economic growth has been stable and strong since 2014. In 2017, the Indonesian economy grew by 5.07%, with gross domestic product exceeded $1 trillion, and it was driven by the consumption sector and investment. Through investment as one of the main pillars of the economy, the Indonesian government expects private investment to reach $260.6 billion, or 53.3% comes from the manufacturing sector. He said, as a strategic partner of Indonesia, China becomes one source of investment. China's investment value in Indonesia during the period of 2015 to 2017 reached $6.65 billion. In 2017, China's investment to Indonesia reached $3.3 billion, or 5 times higher than in 2015. Both countries have also agreed to increase Indonesian palm oil exports to China at least 500,000 tons per year. China also opens the export of shallow nest and tropical fruits from Indonesia. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ministry of Tourism trains taxi drivers to be able to become a tourist destination consultant as well as a part of Wonderful Indonesia's service ambassadors. Minister Arif Yahya said in Jakarta on Tuesday that his ministry provides training for the trainer, which includes materials of tourism service ambassador to 100 Bluebird taxi drivers. Through the training, Bluebird drivers are expected to play a maximum role as a tourism destination consultant in providing the best recommendations such as hotels, restaurants, historical and natural tourist destinations to Bluebird passengers, especially domestic and foreign tourists. Tourism Service Ambassador training activities include hospitality materials, knowledge of Indonesian tourism, as well as techniques in promoting tourist destination. This program is a follow-up of a series of cooperation between Bluebird and Ministry of Tourism, which has been implemented in March 2018. Indonesia will implement a zero-tolerance measure to ensure security of the 18th Asian Games to take place in Jakarta and Palembang from August 18 to September the 2nd. Organizing Committee Deputy Chairman Safri Samsudin stated in Jakarta on Thursday that the target is to implement the event based on international standard of zero-tolerance in venues, non-venues, and other locations. He noted that a multiple security system by the police and the armed forces will be implemented in the transportation sector, traffic, information technology, as well as Asian Games torch parade from July 15 in 18 provinces. Deputy Chief of Police Commissioner General Saprudin, who was also present at the meeting, remarked that police have appealed to the people to remain calm and trust the military and the police with regard to security. He has urged the security apparatus to be professional to increase public trust, especially the international community. The acts of terrorism which have happened recently in Surabaya's Java makes Indonesian government improve concrete efforts to overcome the deadly acts. This was said by a researcher of Center for Regional Resources Research of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Levi Cahyo Pamungkas, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia after a public discussion of losing terrorism network at Levi's building in Jakarta on Thursday. He hoped that the Indonesian government can improve observation towards social media, which has been one of roots of problem from radical acts. He also said that the government has not been optimal in handling the dissemination of ideology with violence narration through social media. The government must prevent and get rid of intolerant attitude towards groups of religions. Firstly, it must fight against intolerance both from daily life and social media, especially hate speech. This is as one of the intolerance that can be seen. So I think one of the agendas that must be done now is fighting against intolerance, both in socially and daily life. I think it is one of the roots of the problem. Cahyo Pamungkas further explained that the prevention of terrorism ideology growth can be done through the radicalization strategy to the family of terrorists. He also said that this can be implemented through many approaches psychologically and socially or by empowering approach through special education. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is, Will Kim Jong-un's Trump meeting be cancelled? The world is looking forward to a meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, scheduled for June 12th. However, amid waiting realization of historic moment, Pyongyang on Tuesday local time suddenly threatened to cancel the summit. North Korean Deputy Foreign Minister Kim Kyung-kwan said that his country is no longer interested in the talks and will reconsider his attendance. The reason is that because the United States is considered to provoke Pyongyang ahead of the summit by throwing stupid statements. One thing that angers North Korea is the assertion of U.S. hardline conservative politician John Dalton. Over the weekend, he said that North Korea could follow Libya's nuclear disarmament model, that is to stop the entire weapon program first and then to obtain economic assistance. Another reason why Pyongyang is not interested in the talks is that the U.S. demands for denuclearization. Unilaterally, the United States demands that North Korea halts its nuclear weapons program for the June 12 meeting between both heads of states. The agreement on Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump summit is a major breakthrough. After the meeting of two Korean leaders, Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in in Panmunjom last April 27th. At the meeting, North Korea said that it was committed to carrying out the denuclearization on Korean Peninsula. However, it does not mean that the steps towards the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula run smoothly. It should be understood that North Korea has spent so much time and money over the years to build its nuclear weapons. All of these are to show its existence as a powerful country. Thus, the denuclearization demand is very heavy for North Korea. Due to nuclear significance for the North, since the beginning, China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi has warned that talks on the denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula may not run smoothly. The United States and its allies need to be patient and careful in taking steps, including in issuing statements which tend to ensure previous bill commitment. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event of Mount St. Helens erupted on May 18, 1980. Mount St. Helens is an active volcano located in Skamania County, Washington, the United States. It is part of Cascade Mountain, which was previously called Lovala Clough, taken from the local language means volcano. Mount St. Helens was famous with its eruption, which occurred on May 18, 1980. The eruption was the worst volcanic eruption. It has most powerful eruption and caused the biggest economic losses throughout the history of the United States. The eruption of St. Helens volcano caused 57 died. The location of eruption now becomes an area of the National Monument of St. Helens volcano. Now it's turned to another event of Smiling Buddha operation. On May 18, 1974, India successfully conducted its first nuclear test. Smiling Buddha is a code name that refers to India's first nuclear explosion test. This trial was conducted on May 18, 1974 in Pokhran and was the first nuclear test conducted by the state outside the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, namely the United States, the United Kingdom, France, China, and Russia. Now we end today's segment of Today in History. On May 18, 1980, Reid Blackburn passed away. Reid Blackburn was a photographer who died on the eruption of Mount Helens in 1980. Reid Blackburn died on May 18, 1980. Blackburn was a photographer and journalist who covering the eruption of the mountain for local newspapers, the Vancouver, Washington Columbian, and also National Geographic magazine. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you the title, Indonesia export various commodities to some countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo released Indonesia's export of finished products to the United States using a giant ship with a capacity of 10,000 20-foot equivalent unit. The exported products are textiles, garments, electronics, and footwear. President Joko Widodo said the large quantity export is an Indonesia's momentum to show the world about the national economic condition which continuously increases. The president emphasized at the Jakarta International Container Terminal, Tanjung Priok Port, North Jakarta, on Tuesday, May 15, that Indonesia should move forward to show the world that Indonesian economy remains tough. President Joko Widodo moreover mentioned that Indonesian export to the United States shows that Indonesia has very strategic role in Indo-Pacific geo-economy. As the biggest country in Southeast Asia, Indonesia continued to move to get Indo-Pacific region as the main sources of economic growth. In addition, the president said that Indonesia also becomes trade center and industry in the world. The release of the gigantic 95,263 gross ton vessel with 300 meters long was also attended by the Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, President Director of Indonesia Port Corporation Alvin Masasya, and Chairman of the company, CEO Container Maritime Activities Farid Bolbob. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, after accompanied President Joko Widodo, attended the release of Export and Infrastructure Review of Tanjung Priok Port, Jakarta on Tuesday, said that, afterward, the ministry also targeting direct export from Tanjung Priok Port, Jakarta to Rotterdam, the Netherlands. Minister Erlangga Hartarto said that Los Angeles is an Indonesian export gate to America, while the Indonesian export gate in Europe is Rotterdam. Direct shipments from Jakarta can reduce the cost and create competitive prices. According to him, the types of products that are planned to be exported to Europe, including crude palm oil, CPO, and its derivatives. Meanwhile, other products such as textiles and textile products and footwear are still the leading products. Indonesia becomes the sixth footwear producer country in the world, so its potential is very large to be exported to Europe. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian state-owned airliner Garuda Indonesia Group and private airline Sriwijaya Group have signed an agreement on the codeshare partnership in a bid to enhance the accessibility and connectivity of flight routes. The Tourism Office of Mataram East Nusa Tenggara stated that the policy of travel advice by some countries after a series of terrorist acts in Surabaya and Riau has not affected in Mataram. The government of Indonesia is sure to guarantee the security of the implementation of the Asian Games 2018. Terrorism acts that have occurred lately will not disrupt the grand event. Head of National Development Planning Agency Bambang Brojonegoro in a press release said that the Asian Games is an international event, so the security standards of Asian Games must be very high. Manado Tourism Office in North Sulawesi said that the visit of Chinese tourists in Manado still run normally. There has been no cancellation of arrival. Head of the Tourism Marketing Department at Manado Tourism Office, Abdul Bajan, said in Manado that so far there has been no cancellation of foreign tourist visit, especially from China, that has been dominating the visit in North Sulawesi. President Joko Widodo asked people to perform worship with peaceful and clean heart during Ramadan. He also asked the people to respect each other in accordance with the lesson from the Prophet Muhammad. Vice President Yusuf Kala was heading to Turkey on Thursday evening to attend the extraordinary summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. The summit is held to address recent developments in Palestine following the removal of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno asked state companies to keep expanding synergy in a bid to improve efficiency and optimize the use of state funds invested in the state-owned enterprises. Indonesian Ambassador to China Johari Ratmangun invites hundreds of Chinese local business people to expand their business to Indonesia. Ministry of Tourism trains taxi drivers to be able to become a tourist destination consultant as well as a part of Wonderful Indonesia Service Ambassador. Indonesia will implement a zero-tolerance measure to assure security of the 18 Asian Games to take place in Jakarta and Palembang from August 18 to September 2. Indonesian business people, along with the Indonesian Embassy in Paris, France, successfully seized export opportunity to the French market through Indonesia-France Business Forum activity in Bordeaux City. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Kanji Rumbi Porridge, a typical Aceh culinary for fast breaking. Stay tuned. Porridge is a type of food cooked until the material becomes very soft. In addition to rice basic material, the porridge can also be made of sticky rice or green beans. These foods can be easily found everywhere. Because of its soft texture, the porridge can also be consumed by toddlers and the elderly. Each region from Aceh to Papua has a special type of porridge. The Chinese traders brought the culture to eat porridge when they made transactions in Indonesia. The eating habits of Chinese merchants and ship crews began to be emulated by Indonesian people until nowadays. Listener, in Indonesia, salty taste porridge has differences in each region. For example, ase porridge of Batavi, manggul porridge of Madura, tinutuan porridge of Manado, and kanjirumbi porridge of Aceh. Kanjirumbi is a typical porridge for fast breaking in Aceh that is usually served during Ramadan. The porridge is rich in nutrients with various sources of protein and vegetables that make it a special dish. Usually during Ramadan, great mosques preparing the porridge in large portion. The local people cook kanjirumbi porridge since long time ago. The porridge will be served when breaking the fast in the mosque. The porridge will be distributed to all residents for fast breaking at home and also for travelers. Listener, kanjirumbi porridge has a distinctive flavor because it is rich in spices. The main ingredients are rice, vegetables, and spices that have been ground. There are potatoes, carrots, turmeric, ginger, onion, coconut milk, pandan leaves, and lemongrass. For the people of Aceh, kanjirumbi porridge is not just an iftar meal, but also has a multi-savor as cold and gastric medicine. The seasonings such as ginger, lemongrass, and turmeric are a prescription since pastime. Cooking the porridge takes 2 to 3 hours in a stew pot, and the fire inside the pot should not go out. Therefore, the firewood should always be available. Listener, maintaining the tradition to cook kanjirumbi porridge is a mutual agreement of all villagers. The fund is collected by the people before Ramadan. This is also aimed to maintain friendship. Besides at Borawi Mosque, kanjirumbi porridge can be found at culinary center in Aceh during Ramadan. However, in normal days, it is very difficult to find the Aceh typical porridge. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic kanjirumbi porridge, a typical menu for breaking fast in Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia. Today's edition will be discussing the topic of Jakarta Fair Kemayoran 2018. Stay tuned to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Listener, the capital city of Indonesia, Jakarta, exactly on June 22nd, will commemorate its 491st anniversary. As in previous years, Jakarta's anniversary celebration will be enlivened by the holding of Jakarta's fair. Jakarta Metropolitan City will again hold annual mega shows for 1 month through Jakarta Fair Kemayoran 2018, or also known as Pekan Raya Jakarta 2018, which will take place on May 24th to July 1st, 2018 at Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran, North Jakarta. Jakarta Fair Kemayoran or Pekan Raya Jakarta 2018 is the 51st event held since 1968. Originally, it was called Pasar Gambir, held at Lapangan Merdeka in colonial era called Koningsplein. The exhibition has been moved to the present location at the Jakarta International Expo in Kemayoran. In addition to the inaugural exhibition of all types of products made in Indonesia, Jakarta Fair consistently maintains its original concept of night market fair, which offers recreation, shopping, and fun for the whole family. Currently, PRJ has become a national icon and enters in the top 100 Wonderful Indonesia events. Listener, as usual, Jakarta Fair Kemayoran on Pekan Raya Jakarta will feature pavilions from the provincial governments, companies, and small and medium enterprises. Various excellence products from all business scale will fill the booth and pavilions at Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran. The exhibition will also be featured with art performances to entertain visitors, ranging from spectacular music performance from top artists of the country, Miss Jakarta Fair Beauty Pageant, Carnival, and many others. This year, there will be more than 2,500 booths and pavilions featuring some of the best products on the market, as well as attractive discount offers. Many products offered at this festival are fashions and textiles, household goods, electronic equipment, gadgets, autos, handicrafts, health, and many more. Listener, Jakarta Fair Kemayoran 2018 has the theme Jakarta Participates in Success in MICE Indonesia in National Economic Development Process. The theme is chosen because Jakarta Fair Kemayoran is one of the largest multiplier exhibition events in Indonesia, even in Southeast Asia. It is also one of the benchmark of MICE industry development in Indonesia. Listener, it is expected that from JFK, or Jakarta Fair Kemayoran 2018, it creates the spirit of trade promotion and industrial innovation that always color the event. In addition, the event is also expected to help open employment for the community, as well as improve the volume of national economy, which ultimately contributes to the welfare of all Indonesian people. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni for today with the topic Jakarta Fair Kemayoran 2018. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Minuka in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present you some Ramadan songs. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, we will play songs from South Sumatra. Stay tuned.
Oh, my God.
Listener, that was the song by Ombai Akas by Faisal Jaffa and Sari Wijaya. Some of these Khmering lyrics are in the forms of rhymes. The lyrics describe someone who is seducing the idol of the heart. The song Ombai Akas is usually sung alone or duet. The next song from South Sumatra that we will present to you is Chukma Ilang. The song Chukma Ilang has many versions. However, the main theme that is presented in the lyrics is the love of young people, such as the broken heart due to the trap boyfriend, meeting the idol of the heart, and the sense of longing. In its various version, the song Chukma Ilang contains poem, which can become longer if more and more people sing the song. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Chukma Ilang by Ruslan Kamaluddin. songs from South Sumatra are indeed with happy nuance. However, without a doubt, there are some other songs that are deep, such as Jangan Harap and Dirut. The song Jangan Harap, which literally means do not divorce, contains message for young people, especially the newly married. The message of the song is that when celebrating marriage, it does not need to be too extravagant. Then for only 1 month marriage, the couples are in quarrel. Meanwhile, the song Dirut is not an acronym for president director. The Dirut is the name of a kid who is left by his father to go wandering. The Dirut is longing for his father, but his father will never come home again. Because the father passed away, somewhere he went. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jangan Harap and by Icha Sischalachi and Dirut by Karel Simon. I'm Dika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
sound.
Of Indonesia.
Today's sounds.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, informing, connecting, dignifying.